there has been something almost surrealistic about the last week. I mean, after almost a year of dealing with the COVID pandemic, trying to navigate life while avoiding falling ill, waiting on word about how well one's loved ones are faring, holding one's breath for those among them who are actually struggling with the pathogen, while the TV keeps blaring about the exploding virus, especially within those areas Trump managed in his insane politicizing of the pandemic to convince folks the entire thing was a fraud, mesmerized by tales of gullible Trump followers literally dying, still convinced COVID is nothing more than the flu. Indeed, after 4 years of watching Donald Trump trash our constitutional norms, institutions, and the rule of law, all the while seeing my country devastated by the historic divisions our mad king has aroused for mere political gain, painfully watching America trashed internationally, increasingly a pariah among nations, it's literally hard to assimilate the thought that there actually seems some hope on the horizon, while the pending arrival of a new leader, Joe Biden, magnificently made for this moment, in both his experience to be the president and the blandness, indeed magnificent blandness, of his personality, a blandness guaranteed to facilitate the sleep the last few years have deprived so many of us, complemented by the wonderfully appreciated post-election comment, "Welcome back, America," by the mayor of Paris. Even as we are told, a genuinely safe and effective vaccine, hell, not just one, but at least two, are soon to be available, all creating a sense of calm this commentator is having trouble adjusting to, having literally developed a nervous system that has been feeding off of stress for the last 4 years. And yes, Donald Trump's unwillingness to offer a smooth transition is clearly mucking up efforts to allow a seamless vaccination rollout, and almost certainly is going to cost lives. But there is, if one might, even a bit of solace there as well. There is, after all, one thing about the presidency that neither our infantile congenital fascist nor his General Services Administration lackey controls. And that is what one of our most fascinating presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, called the presidential bully pulpit, that has already begun to transfer to Biden a good 2 months before the inauguration, which especially complements our current situation, given the mixed bag of the Trump administration's response to COVID. Clearly, real success with promoting the accelerated research necessary to create a vaccine, while totally blowing a coordinated federal response to the crisis, leading so many states not only floundering, but literally bidding against each other to buy life-saving equipment for the pandemic itself. But of course, Trump's worst sin of the pandemic was not using the bully pulpit to promote the only immediate path available to us to save as many lives and as much of our economy as possible, the intelligent use of masks and social distancing, a bully pulpit role Biden, not only the president-elect, but increasingly the acting president Biden, has responsibly taken up, even as Trump's petulant slowing of the transition offers a silver lining in itself, making it easier for Biden to stall naming those members of his administration who will need Senate confirmation until he has a better sense of what is likely to happen in the Georgia Senate races. After all, a Biden cabinet that needs Republican Senate confirmation might look entirely different and probably less ambitious than one that would not, which even reduces the stress associated with the botched transition itself. Not a bad deal after so much emotional turmoil.